I'm going to share something that I have actually taught on before, but it's something I felt the Spirit of the Lord was prompting me. You know, sometimes you're reading and all of a sudden something just pops out and it's like the Lord is saying, hello, right? And we need to pay attention to when the Lord highlights the scripture or highlights something that we're reading. And I just happened to go back and I was looking at some old sermons. You know, I don't usually, because sometimes they're just dead letters. They were things of the past. But sometimes, you know, the Lord will quicken something as you're reading. And we call it sermon seed, you know. Sometimes you're reading the scripture or something, and something will pop out. And the Lord always taught me to pay attention when he's highlighting something. And if you will park there or camp there for a while, okay, dwell there, the Holy Spirit will begin to develop and open it up to you. And he'll give you the understanding, amen, and he'll also expound it so that you get the full revelation of what God wants to reveal. And usually it can be only a word that he may speak. Could be peace. Could be love. Could be joy. Sometimes God would just give a word, you know. And then we get on that frequency, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. How many know that we are surrounded with frequencies, right? You guys get that? There's all kinds of stuff going on in the airwaves. So we need to learn how to tune in to the voice of the Lord and hear his voice specifically, because when he speaks, it's life-giving. When we are hearing from God, it will quicken or it will impart life to our spirit. So we don't want to just give dry teaching, but we want to hear from God and speak the very oracles of God. That means as if God himself were speaking it, an oracle. So when you're in agreement with the Holy Spirit and you're in rest with him, the Lord will speak. And all we need to do is repeat what we're hearing. And if we lend ourselves to the Spirit of the Lord, then there will be an impartation of life that will edify, that will build up the body of Christ. And so, like I was saying, sometimes I'll hear stuff on the radio and it's like, man, that's just, sometimes it almost like you feel like you're being choked by the message because it's so lifeless. Have you know what I'm talking about? I've heard some messages before that were structurally sound, doctrinally sound, but they almost made you sick. Does that make sense? Because they weren't by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, the spirit of man cannot produce righteousness. He cannot produce the life of God. So it's we got to go beyond the intellect of man, amen, to the heart of God. When we're connected with the heart of God, we're in life. He's a life-giving spirit. So, title of the message is Dealing with Sin, Guilt, and Accusation. Three things. Three major problems. The first one is sin. The second one is guilt. And the third one is accusation. Now we need to understand that Jesus Christ came to deliver us from all three. Sin, guilt, and accusation. How many here have had people accuse you of something? How many of you have had somebody accuse you of doing something that you didn't do? Okay. How many had somebody accuse you of doing something that you did do? If you didn't raise your hand, then we need to have a talk afterwards, right? No kidding, right? Yeah. God, by his Holy Spirit, amen, he deals with the issues of our hearts. Now, I want to give you this. You ready for this? The difference between accusation and conviction. The Holy Spirit convicts us for the purpose of redemption, of healing, of restoration, to bring us back into harmony with the Father, to bring us back to God. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, it's always to bring us back to God. When the enemy, when the devil accuses, it's to drive you off, drive you away from God. So we need to know the difference between accusation and conviction. Conviction hurts sometimes, but it hurts good. It's good for us. Accusation condemns. And it'll bring a person to self-condemnation if they're not careful. And if you're in self-condemnation, then you will not function in the will of God because you will feel rejected. And just because I feel rejected doesn't mean that I am rejected. Sometimes you're going to feel rejected. That doesn't mean you're rejected. You can feel depressed, but not be depressed. If you entertain the feeling and you begin to agree with it, then you can become. There's a difference between a temporary or momentary emotion and a way of life. So God wants us free in Him from sin, the power of sin. Isn't that what Jesus did? He broke the power of sin to cleanse us and to sprinkle our hearts, amen, from that evil conscience. Oh, it's so good to have a clear conscience, isn't it? I'm not looking in the mirror and seeing a police car now. The accusation problem. You did it! Oh, I've had some experiences growing up with some of the kids in the neighborhood. They'd entice me to do something. And I was one of those kids that would take the dare. Okay, yeah, you dare me, I'll go to dare. And then once I did it, then they'd go running to my mom and dad. And they'd say, oh, look what he did, look what he did. Did you hear what he said? It's almost like on the Christmas story. He said what? Now, look so sanctified. You've watched that movie, right? Okay. And here comes the wooden spoon. I don't know about you, but them wooden spoons sure hurt. But the accuser, and one of the main ones was this girl. Her name was Janie. And she was like really big for her age. She towered over me. And literally, I'd get into fist fights with Janie. And she'd kick my butt. But she enticed me to do something. And I can remember Janie. I probably told you the story. But she'd get on that bike and she'd run for the house. I'm going to tell. And I came after her. I think I had a rock or something. I was going to stop her. I was going to take her out. But she made it to the house. And it was all over after that, you know. And of course, in their household, they can chew, spit, cuss, whatever, and you know nobody. It didn't make any difference. But in our household, you didn't cuss, you know. Well, at least you shouldn't have, right? Yeah. So, anyways, there's a problem here, and that we have an accuser of the brethren. He's called Satan, and what he wants to do is he wants to get God's people, who are in right standing with God, to believe the lie that they're not. There's a difference between conviction and accusation. You understand? You can be in right standing with God, but you can be listening to the wrong voice who will condemn you and tell you you're not. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one who bears witness with our spirit, confirming that we're in right standing with God or not. But we need to know the voice of the Lord. We need to be able to distinguish the voice of God. I use this illustration a lot, but, you know, if my wife was with a bunch of ladies on the other side of that wall and I could hear through the wall, I could hear, oh, there's April over there, there's Annie, there's Retha. That's definitely Heysook. Her voice will, I just know her voice. Amen? So if there's a bunch of voices calling out to you, there's only one voice you should be listening to. Amen? That's the voice of Jesus, the lover of our soul. He watches over his sheep. He cares about us. Amen? He really does. He wants you to do well. God wants you to do well. He wants you to finish well. God wants you to finish strong. God wants you to have an abundant welcome into His kingdom. God wants to say to you in that day, well done, my good and faithful servant. So when Adam, in the very beginning, when he sinned, what did he do right away? As soon as he sinned, they realized they had lost their clothing. Amen? What was that clothing? It was the glory of God. They wore God-like clothing. Amen? So they were not ashamed. And as soon as sin came in, the glory of God departed from them and they knew that they were naked. And the first thing that happened is they became ashamed. And what did Adam do? Immediately they went to hide from God. That's what sin does. Amen? When we sin, we feel ashamed and we want to go and hide from God. But it was God Himself that came looking for Adam. Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? You know, He's the same God who came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to condemn Adam. Adam had already condemned himself by disobeying the command of God. But God already had a plan in place. Amen. The seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, would be born in due time, born of a virgin. And He would redeem and bring mankind, Adam's race, back into fellowship with Him. But God came looking for Adam, and He said, Adam, where are you? I hid. I was ashamed. Who told you that you were naked? Guess who? He entices you to sin, and then when you sin, He says, you did it. You get it? That's why we should never listen to that voice. We don't want to give Him any part of us. Give no place to the devil, amen? No place. So, we've experienced that at times, haven't we? Even as a believer. People, sometimes they quit coming to fellowship meetings because of condemnation. Because they slipped up or they stumbled or they did something and the enemy came up and started heaping accusation and condemnation on them. And they begin to hear that voice and then they felt ashamed and they felt guilty and they felt like, I'm not worthy to come back to church fellowship. Amen. How many have ever heard that voice before? See? And so what He wants to do is He wants to accuse you to get you to believe His lie that God will never accept you or God's mad at you or God doesn't love you as much as He used to and all these things He'll tell people so that He can isolate you from fellowship because He knows that if He can isolate the sheep from the fold, that sheep becomes prey for Him. Are you hearing me, somebody? And when people that are not in regular fellowship are easy targets because there is a strength, there is a special blessing that we receive when we're together. There's a nourishment that we can receive from the body of Christ. Whether we say anything or not, the fact that Christ is in you, that you receive an anointing, that there are angels assigned to you, when we come together, there is an expression of God's heart through the diversity, amen, of God's giftings in the body. And people receive the encouragement and the strength and the joy simply by being together with God's people. Sometimes we come in, it's like, oh, it's really hard. I don't really feel like it, but God's telling me to go. See, you can't live by your feelings. You come and then you say, wow, am I glad? Am I glad that I actually took this step and did it. You know, God didn't say, Adam, what did you do? He said, Adam, where are you? Listen, God is more concerned that mankind is separated from Him than the sin itself. We've made such an emphasis on the sin. Sin is awful. Sin is ugly. Sin is detestable, amen? Sin is intolerant to God, amen? It's intolerable to God. God cannot stand sin. He's righteous. He's holy in all His ways. But God is more concerned about the fact that man is separated from Him than the sin itself. Hear that. You've got to understand the heart of your Father. Under the law, it was all about the do's and the don'ts, the rights and the wrongs, the knowledge of good and evil. Amen? But Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. God's heart is to restore us to fellowship with Him. He's more concerned that we're separated from Him than what we actually did. That's why He came looking for Adam. See, sometimes our theology is just putting all the focus on what you did and how bad you are. And we need to understand that sin is an awful thing and we don't want anything to do with it. Why? Because it grieves the heart of the one who loves us the most. When Jesus came, He demonstrated, He revealed the heart of God. Not the law, but the heart of God. It's no different than receiving a text message. And sometimes we've been confused when we've got text messages. How about anybody know what I'm talking about? Because you didn't know the heart of the one or what what they were actually trying to present to you through that word. And sometimes words can be confusing. It's no different than reading the Bible and not understanding the heart of God, you see? If we don't have the Spirit of God and we don't know the heart of God, then we can get all kinds of interpretations by reading the Bible and we can become legalists. We can become, are you hearing me? Loveless devotion people. Where we're devoted, but we're loveless. You can go into some churches, amen, and they're just so cold and indifferent and they don't care if you're there or not. And they're all living in this bondage of performance because people have an expectation. It doesn't matter what man thinks. What matters is that I'm right with God. Because even when you do everything right and you're walking with God, somebody is not going to like you. Somebody's going to accuse you even. People will lie about you. Hello. You can be doing everything right and still get attacked. So we turn our eyes on Jesus, amen, and get Him off people. We're not here, amen, to make everybody happy. We want to make Jesus happy. Now, if I can please you in the process and not compromise, amen. But when it comes down to it, I want to please the Lord. So the first problem, of course, sin, and sin separates. Sin brings shame. And when we're ashamed, we often want to hide. In John 3, Jesus said, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light. And they don't come into the light, lest their deeds be exposed." You know the best thing for Adam? You know what Adam needed to do? What he needed to understand is the heart of God. Adam needed to turn to and run to God. Amen. And not run from. The enemy, again, will try to get you and I to run from God. The Holy Spirit always draws us to God. When we're convicted, it's always with redemption. Amen? Because God wants to heal and restore and make new. So we've got to be very careful what voice we're listening to. A lot of times our understanding of God is based upon our human experiences. You've heard that. Well, my dad was this way. Or my teacher was this way. Or some authority in my life was this way. And so sometimes we have a distorted view of who God is because the models we've seen in this world were flawed. Amen? So what we need to do is we need to take a look at the one who is perfect, who's the perfect Father, and say, that's who I want to be like when I grow up. I want to be like Jesus when I grow up. Amen. How many are growing here? Are you growing up? Hallelujah. Becoming more and more like the one you love. Let's hope. So what happens is The enemy does something like this. In some circles, they say you need to pay penance. You need to say so many Hail Marys. You need to do this. You need to do that. And if you do enough of this, then the good will outweigh the bad, and God will then accept you again. You need to promise to do better. You need to do a lot of good works to compensate for all the bad things you did. How many know that no matter how many good works you do, it'll never compensate for one sin? As long as you and I have sinned, we've fallen short. That one sin is all it took for Adam to be separated. And the only solution for you and I is the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be made right with God except through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We must come by way of His precious blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing that can remove, amen, the stain, even of guilt, off my heart. Hebrews 9:22 says, according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. In Exodus, the Lord spared the firstborn. Remember that? Was it on the basis of their good behavior? The only reason the Hebrews were spared is because they obeyed God in applying what? The blood of the Lamb to the doorpost. Could they see the blood? No, they were inside the house. Could they feel the blood? Probably not. But the blood was there. And because of the blood, the death angel passed over. Amen? That's why we celebrate Passover, right? And today we do it as communion. So, he said, when I see the blood, Exodus 12:13, it shall be a sign for you in the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now, we can probably all assume, right, that the Hebrews were not any worse sinners than the Egyptians. For all have sinned. Amen. They were sinners too. Amen. God had a plan for His people. And through that line, of course, the Messiah would come, the seed. Amen. So God chose Israel. Even though it was one of the smallest nations, it is, amen, in the earth, God chose that people to represent Him in the earth. Not because they were better than anybody else, but because God needed vessels and He chose them. Okay, Israel, you're going to represent me. Well, how did that go? How well did they do with that? Amen? No. Because in their strength or in their own ability, they did not have what was required to live up to the perfect standard of God's law. God had to bring all of us, including Israel, to the foot of the cross and say, it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by His own mercy, God saved us. It's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be forgiven, that we can be cleansed, for all of us have been separated through sin. And don't pretend to be something you're not. Be real with God. Get right with God. If you confess your sins, He's faithful. He's just to forgive us. Thank God. Do I feel forgiven? It doesn't matter. God's Word said. I believe what God said. God does not lie. How many beside myself have gone to the altar probably 500 times over the same sin and reconfessed it? Oh God, guess what's going on? The accuser's busy. What we need to do is by faith go to the Lord, believing that He is. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If we draw near to God, He said He'll draw near to us. If we confess our sins, He said He would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So why are we carrying this stuff around? Why are we still living in guilt? We need to deal with the guilt problem. Amen. And the only thing that can deal with the guilt problem is faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Faith in the blood. Hallelujah. There is a mercy seat in heaven. Jesus, our great high priest, with His own blood went behind, amen, that veil, if you will, in heaven itself. And that blood represents us. That blood speaks better things than that of Abel. Abel cried out for vengeance, amen. The blood of Christ cries out for mercy. We called on the name of the Lord. And we're delivered, we're saved, hallelujah, we're forgiven. And then I got to agree with the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, You said, Your word said, if I confess. And when the enemy comes along, oh, you're not forgiven. Say, speak to the hand, devil. God said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word of God. We live by His word. His word is what matters. His word is truth. His word is what's authentic. Anything that doesn't agree with God's word is illegal. So what do we do when we sin and we feel far from God? Confess. Do the right thing. Yeah. Lord, if things aren't right, I want to get it right. You know, guys, if the Holy Spirit wasn't working in you, you wouldn't even care. Understand that. Before in the world, we just did what we wanted to do. When the Holy Spirit comes, it's like all of a sudden there's a conviction there. Amen. It's like, oh, I can't live like this. I got to get it right. And when you get it right, you have peace, amen, in your heart. And once you receive that, you walk in that. You hold on to that, amen. You hold on to that peace. Don't let that devil come along and say, I don't like you living in peace. You're a little bit too joyful for my care, you know. So he tries to steal your joy and your peace from you. How does he do it? God didn't forgive you. Do you remember what you did? No. God doesn't hold it against us. If God doesn't hold our sins against us, our past sins, then why should we? So you got to start listening to the voice, amen, of the shepherd, the lover of your soul, who, because of His great love, gave Himself for us. Because He wanted us to be with Him. We didn't want to be with Him. He wanted us to be with Him. Come on. But when we're in sin, we're blind. It's the mercy of God that allows us to see. He removes the veil and we begin to see our sinfulness and our need of cleansing and to be restored to life and fellowship with God. And thank God for the Holy Spirit who convicts us. And I thank God, I say, Lord, if I even begin to stray in my mind, smite me with conviction. That's where it begins right there, amen? You're going through that grocery line and there's those magazines staring at you guys. What do? You better get on the right frequency right away, amen? Don't start entertaining those pictures, amen? Because that's how it begins, right? It begins in the mind. And I thank God, I say, Lord, if I even begin to stray in my mind, then convict me. Amen. Smite me with that conviction. And you know the Lord is faithful to do that. I find myself straying. Sometimes He can catch you off guard. All of a sudden you're just like, oh, whoa, what happened? But you get that little thing in your stomach that says, ooh, don't go there. Poison for your soul. Well, it looked good on the outside, but we won't go there, right? Okay. So once a year, the veil, amen, the high priest under the old Levitical priest system, the high priest once a year would go behind the veil, right, with the blood of the sacrifice and sprinkle it on the mercy seat for not only his own sins, but for the what? The sins of the people. So likewise, Jesus, our great high priest, did the same for us. With his own blood, he placed that blood on the mercy seat in the presence of the Father, amen, in heaven itself. Did you know that in heaven, it's another topic for another day, But heaven is actually a tabernacle. It's designed the same as he had it on earth. Yeah. That's why he told them specifically how to build it, because it was supposed to be a shadow or a pattern of the heavenly. And even how the priest would function within. It's a picture of what would go on, amen, in eternity. So no one was able to actually see the high priest perform the act. None of us here actually witnessed Jesus going to heaven itself and placing that blood on the mercy seat. However, by faith, they believed that as long as that high priest, amen, and that bell was still ringing on his ankle. And remember, they had to put a bell on his ankle and a rope. Because when he's back there, they'd hear him jingling around. That means he's still alive. Because if he went back there and he wasn't ceremonially clean, he would be struck dead by the sheer holiness of God. He would just be toast. And if that bell would stop ringing, they knew he was dead, and they would pull him out. Amen. So that high priest, amen, in fear and trembling would go behind that veil. Amen. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to be one of those high priests. But Jesus, our Lord, amen, is our high priest, and he did it for us. He went into heaven itself, amen, and his precious blood, the pure blood of God, amen, which atones for our sins, it speaks better things than that of Abel for mercy and grace, forgiveness of sins, amen, so that we can be reconciled to God. So only by his holiness we can be brought into right standing with God. It's not by my works of righteousness, but by his mercy. Hallelujah. So guys, we got to quit worrying about how I feel about things and start getting into agreement with what God says. That's where we base everything, is on truth. Because that soul part of us, the soul man, right? That soul part of us, the touchy-feely emotional part of us thinks, well, I felt God, so God's with me. I didn't feel God, so God must not be with me. And in some cases, we create an atmosphere like that where people expect to feel God. How many know that when God is moving, you're feeling God too? Don't get me wrong. I mean, you can feel the presence of God. Amen. And I love the feeling of God's presence. Amen. But there's times when you don't feel God. He's still there. How do we know that? Because his word. I'll never leave you. So when you find yourself in that place wondering, did I grieve God? How many have ever gone through dry seasons in your life where it just seemed like God was far away and you weren't getting it, you weren't feeling it. It was just kind of like, God, what's going on? And you're repenting of every known sin and you're trying to just figure it out. And you know what God is saying? He's saying, what did I say? Do you believe me? I like to use the illustration of the little baby that's learning how to walk, you know. And it's like a newborn in the Lord, you know. Hey, life is good. Everything is brand new and exciting. And you know, and I'm exploring and learning. And I'm walking. And I get to take my first steps. And Daddy's holding my hands, you know. And, man, we're jamming now. You know, I got Daddy holding me up and stuff. And then all of a sudden, Daddy says, well, it's time, son, for you to start taking a few steps on your own. It's like, hey, where are you? Don't worry about it, I'm right here. I want you to trust me. I want you to learn how to walk by faith. I want you to learn how to trust my word, not your situation, not your emotions, not your feelings, not based upon how things appear, but based upon truth. For the just shall live by faith and not by sight. So just because we don't see the blood, just because we don't feel, doesn't mean that that blood is there and that blood works. Amen? It's effective. So don't wait for some good feeling. Even when you pray, how many beside myself have depended on feelings when you've been praying too? If I don't feel God's presence, then he must not be listening. He knows you, what you're thinking right now. He knows your thought life. Amen? I don't know if there's any truth to this, but I heard a testimony of a guy who said he went to heaven, and he said people's thoughts are like speaking out loud in heaven. Say, ooh. I better stay on the right station here. So the problem that we have is solved, not by ourselves, but by the Lord Himself. We cannot save ourselves. We really cannot fix ourselves. We can make some adjustments. We can make some changes. And we certainly need to practice some disciplines, amen, such as prayer, Bible reading, amen, and being in fellowship with God's people. Those are important. Witnessing, right? We need the disciplines. However, it's not of us. Salvation is not of us. It's of Him. I cannot put my confidence in my ability to live good. Hear me. As long as I try to be good, I'll never be good. If I'm trying to be holy, I won't be. If I'm trying to be righteous, I won't be. Well, I'm trying. Start relying. Start depending. Start trusting. Quit trying in your own strength somehow to live a good enough life for God to love you a little more, that hopefully someday you go to heaven because you've been so good. How many know that by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified? We're walking with the Spirit now. That law is written in our hearts. It's the voice that says, this is the way, walk in it. That's it. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on Jesus, right? So that's the freedom in the Spirit, the freedom in Christ. Amen. That I'm not depending on me to be a savior of myself. So I'm free. Hallelujah. Because when I'm in harmony with the Lord, when I'm in faith, when I'm in trust and confidence in the Lord, and I'm just enjoying His fellowship and His presence every day, amen, as I call on Him, as I talk to the Lord, as I consult Him in every decision I make, as I do that, I have life and peace in the Spirit. And I'm like, well, can you lose your salvation? Or are you never going to lose your salvation? I ain't worried about that stuff. When you're with Jesus, it's like life is good. You're okay. Come on, somebody. When you're with Jesus, you don't want to go out and sin like the devil. When you're walking with Jesus, amen, you're sensitive to His heart. And when you grieve the Spirit of God, you know it. And if you're truly born again, then you will have that conviction in you of the Holy Spirit that when you mess up, He's going to convict you and He's going to point you back, amen, to the cross and say, you need to confess that. Thank God is forgiveness. Hallelujah. I'm free today. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been gone. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Oh, things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who. That's my confession, see? I'm a new creation. When the devil accuses you, I'm a brand new man or woman. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Oh, He hates it when you agree with the truth. He hates it when you believe. What you believe will determine what you receive. And what you receive will determine how you live your life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. Now, I want to talk a little bit more, if you guys get a few more minutes, on the guilt problem. A lot of God's people deal with guilt. They deal with shame. In other words, they've gone and they've confessed, and yet they still feel guilty. They still feel ashamed. And, you know, in some ways, it's good that you have that sense of, you know, I did these things in my past so that I don't ever want to go back and repeat it. Amen? But guilt, what it does is it paralyzes a person. If you and I are living in guilt, then we will not serve the Lord. Or if we do, we'll be doing it artificially. How many know that it's God who calls us, God who chooses us? It's not because I'm such a nice guy that God chose me, amen? It's because God loved me even when I was yet in sin. When I was still a sinner, God loved me. And God in His mercy saved me, redeemed me, gave me a brand new heart, amen? And called me to serve Him. And I'm just so thankful that I get to serve my Lord, amen? We get to serve Jesus. But it's not because of my goodness, amen? It's not because of yours. It's because of His goodness that we're His people. It's not my holiness, it's His holiness. It's not my righteousness, it's His righteousness. Get your eyes off you and get your eyes on Him. In Him I live. Amen? He's my righteousness. He's my holiness. He's my life. My hope and confidence is in Him, not in self. My goodness. I'm good. Why? Because the good one is in me. And He makes me good. I'm righteous because the righteous one is what in me, and He makes me righteous. Amen. I receive righteousness as a gift. The gift of righteousness. We shall reign in life with Him through the gift of righteousness. The Lord is my righteousness. You get it? Jesus is the sum total of it all. If we understand that our lives are to be centered in Him, founded on Him, amen? The world revolves around Him, not us. Literally. He keeps things in place, doesn't He? And so when I have my confidence in the Lord, and my trust in His Word and His promise to keep me, to sustain me, and also to provide for us, whatever it is that you have need of, God is the answer, isn't He? Put your faith in Him and get your eyes off you. How many know that you and I really cannot serve the Lord acceptably if we're self-conscious? Amen. I've been a lot of worship teams and you know, especially musicians. And I came out of that world. Narcissism. We want to be seen. You know, we want to be the star of the show. The show must go on. And we bring that garbage sometimes into the church. Are you hearing me? And we go and entertain people. And I want to be the star. I want to be the front man. Or I want to be the front woman. Or I want to be, you know, turn my mic up. I can't hear my beautiful voice. Well, we don't have that problem here. At least I don't think we do. We don't. We keep our eyes on Jesus, right? But you know, when I came out of that whole mess, the Lord, you know, He stripped me down from all the stuff. I had equipment, I had instruments, I had guitars, I had all the toys, you know, all the pedals and the amps and all that stuff. Man, I just gutted the whole thing, sold it off, got rid of it all, had a 12-string guitar. And that's kind of where we started right there. I was like, okay. I went to some old Pentecostal church back in Tacoma, and Korean American church, actually, and they had an English section over there, and grabbed my 12-string and just plugged in and started going. And we were doing hymns, believe it or not. And I was jamming out those hymns on that 12-string. But the Lord had to kind of strip me of Keith. Are you hearing me? He has to strip us of ourselves so that we're not enamored with ourselves. We're not like focusing on self. If we want to be God's ministers, we got to be outwardly focused. We got to be thinking about the heart and the condition of others around us. Amen. And let the heart of God work through us. And it's immaturity if we're you know, self-consumed. And God wants us to grow up and grow out of that way of thinking, because when it comes to the holy things of God, amen, we're before an audience of one. When we're here, it's before an audience of one. We want to give our talents and our abilities, everything back over to God and say, Lord, we just want to use it for you now. And we can have fun doing it too. And you know, the Lord's not saying, you guys had too much fun in that service. No, He gave us the gift in the first place. How many would agree that music is a blessing? It's a gift to mankind, amen? So it's not an evil thing in and of itself. If we sanctify our gifts and we give them back over to God, then God can supersize them, amen? God can supernaturalize it, amen? He'll anoint whatever you give Him, and then you'll begin to express His heart, amen, through whatever gifts you have. And that's where life is imparted, because I cannot produce life. I can only let life flow through me. That's all we are. We're vessels, amen? Just understand this. It was Satan who accused Job. He says, you know why Job is serving you? For what he can get out of you. It's because you blessed him. Because of the stuff. In some cases, that's true today, isn't it? People serve God for the stuff. Well, God, give me this stuff. Give me that new car, that new house, and give me all this, you know. No. But he was accusing Job of serving God, amen, with an agenda for just what he could get out of God. And so God said, okay, put it to the test here. Because God was boasting on Job. God knew Job's heart. But Job had to see himself. And there was some self-righteousness there, wasn't there? And God, what God did is He made Job even more righteous than he was already through that test and that trial. Long story, amen? Zechariah and the high priest, amen? Joshua standing. And the Satan was where? At the right hand there to accuse him. When you fail, when you make mistakes, when you listen to the wrong voice, then he accuses you to who? The Father. He said, ha, look what they did. You've heard it said here before, but you see, the devil can't, well, he can't touch God directly. So what he wants to do is he wants to touch his people by getting them to cooperate with him, to listen to him. And if we listen to him, then he can hurt God's heart because he loves his children. And it grieves our Father when we sin. That's why we don't want to give ourselves any longer, amen, to listen to that voice. Because what he does is he accuses. Not only does he accuse us, but he accuses us to the Father. And you know what? God is just. And because of that, there's a consequence for sin. What do? Try harder? Get on our face and say, Lord, forgive me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen? Cleanse me from this thing. Wash me from this thing. I'm sorry. I repent. Repentance means I'm not going to repeat it. Amen? You can be remorseful but unrepentant. You can be sorry about a sin, but unrepentant. Repentance means I'm sorry enough that I'm not going to repeat it. And when God sees that heart, you go home justified. He says, you're forgiven. That blood availed for you. Amen? The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then the enemy has nowhere to go because he is the prosecuting attorney, but we have an advocate with the Father. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ, who stands on our behalf. We call upon the name of the Lord instead of running away from Him. We run to Him. He's our Savior. Those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Hallelujah. Have you come to Jesus? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing flood? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?